quote with a stranger, but I'd feel awkward that we're just we're here.
Right.
And we clearly acknowledge
nice weather outside,
here.
Huh?
Right, yeah. I mean, you know what helps in this day and age? Everyone's on their phones.
Back that
in
is
the day
true.
When
which I
nothing
hate.
Else. I do too.
I hate that.
But at least you can act like, oh, I'm busy over here, so I'm
so
not going to acknowledge your presence.
When you get on the elevator to be on your phone, so
of
you don't
course.
Have to
he
talk
just admitted
people.
It.
No, no.
He definitely admitted.
I'm not pretending. I'm just saying you have that, you know, you can do things on your phone.
There's a crutch now.
To take away from the, well, I'm not reading a book.
You can
I'm not
always tell when somebody's uncomfortable on being on an elevator with a stranger when their thumb moves like a million miles an hour. Yeah. They're just trying to buy time with the thumb. Relax, bro. We go both going to the fifth floor. We'll be done in a minute.
And that ride's 10 seconds.
Yeah. And mind you, when I get on, they're like, oh, God, this dude, the dreads, the big guy, all over this. Swear he was on the 5 o'clock news. Oh, man, you just see their brain. Like, come on, calm down. We go to the fifth floor. This will be all over. We'll never see each other again. We'll be fine.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, yeah.
Just joking with you. We'll see you in a little while. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to some football, some news with Hassan Reddick. I also have something I want you to listen to from the CeeDee Lamb signing, which I think will lend itself to a bigger conversation with agents and players. So that's coming up next. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York on Odyssey Sports Station.
What is today? Wednesday. Built Ford Tough Studio, the Boomer and Geo program. The guys will be back next week after the holiday weekend. It is Willie and Jerry in until 10. I'm going to get to the CeeDee Lamb thing in a moment, but first, so yesterday, obviously, the cuts. Okay, fine. We know that. There was no, as CeeLo said, there's no earth-shattering moves from yesterday of major note. But I did see a couple of things that I thought were interesting. One, Rob Saleh being asked, and rightly so, about the Hassan Reddick situation.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the quotes was he feels like he'll be ready to go week one. I mean, for that to happen, A, he's got to report first. B, my question to you, and I don't, you've never held out, have you?
No, I was never that important.
Have you been around the guy that's, have you held, been around the guy that's held out?
I feel like I have. I think there has been a period. Yeah, Alan Faneca for a minute.
Okay.
Before he got to the Jets, he held out. That was big because Alan was the leader of our room. Mm-hmm. And he was obviously decorated Pro Bowls, Super Bowls, and all that. And for me, that was my first time I watched somebody as on the team in my unit kind of have that discourse with the organization, the head coach, and kind of be on the outs a little bit. Mm. And that was interesting to see because Alan was the ultimate pro. Like, he's the reason I wore 66 when I got to the Jets because I just idolized him and I just had so much respect for my locker. We shared, you know, his locker was to the left of me. I was right to the right of him. And I just watched this man be a pro. So see that was different because I knew deep down inside he never wanted to leave. But he wanted the money to make sense for him, and it just, you know, Steelers are the Steelers. So
understood. So when he does come back and play, and I'm getting to Reddick with this point.
Yep.
Let's just say Hassan Reddick does show up on whatever it is, Monday,
mm-hmm.
and he shows up and he's ready to go week one in San Francisco a week later. Are you getting the full player, or does it take time for them to get into actual game shape? Or does it matter?
Well, this is the one thing I hate. I know Monday he had posted a video of him working out at some school, I think somewhere down in Texas, and he looked phenomenal. Moved. I mean, he looked like he's ready to go right now. The problem is there's nobody hitting him, right? He's stepping over cones and he's hitting a bag. For me, it would take me at least a week or two to kind of get acclimated just from the speed and the wind and kind of just getting my bearings and just kind of hitting the lights on as I go. I can imagine for him, it may be a little same. He's going to have to get acclimated because from the standpoint, he's never played with this defensive line. He's coming from Philadelphia. This is a system he may be familiar with from a schematic standpoint, but he will be asked to do different things. Not only stand up, cover, and then getting a rapport with those guys he's going to play with. Like, he's never played with Quentin Williams, right? He's never taken calls from CJ Mosley. You know, he's from all, I will say this, leaving Philly, he didn't leave with a good taste in his mouth because he wanted to get paid. Things fell apart from a defensive standpoint. They were horrible on defense towards the back end of the season. So now with all that said, I know he turns 30 September 22nd. Yeah, it would behoove him if he can get in the building ASAP. Just to kind of get all of that stuff, get the bad taste out of his mouth. Obviously, there's some issues with the organization between him and Joe Douglas. Mm-hmm. So if he can get all that out the way and be ready to go against the Niners, if I'm him, that's what I care about.
Yeah, and that's the other part, too. You're not starting against a bad team. I mean, you're right out the gate taking on the NFC champions from last year,
Jerry,
on their turf.
I'm glad you said that, because I think not a lot of people are talking about this. There's been so much talked about, well, what does Aaron Rodgers look like? What can he do? This Jets defense. The Niners have a sense of urgency about them, too, because as much as this roster for the Niners have been assembled and they look great, they got Brock Purdy, they got weapons all over the board, they haven't won the big one, right? And so they're coming out the gate saying, hey, we're not about to get, you know, knocked around by the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is going to be – the Jets are walking into hostile territory. Like, that's the bottom line. So if you're Robert Saleh, I can understand – saying like, hey man, we need all hands on deck for this one. We're going into a building where these guys are going to try to knock our heads off because they want to start off on the right foot. Brock Purdy wants to be he wants to be paid, and if you're clamoring for a new check, you want to kind of make your validation against Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? You want to kind of start off on the right foot. So I think the Jets, I just feel like they're overlooking it a little bit. And I don't know. I get that feeling. I hope that's not the case.
It could be. I think more maybe the fans maybe than the team. Yeah. But I know what you're saying. Yeah. And maybe, like you said, a statement game for the Niners. Zoo, do me a favor. In that same folder, you're going to see a CeeDee Lamb clip. So just have that ready. So this would be my question now when we're talking about negotiations. We got it going on with Hassan Reddick. There aren't. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but there's certainly an impasse. You had Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati where I think Zach Taylor said he has started to come back and practice, and they expect him to practice and play next week. My question, after watching CeeDee Lamb talk yesterday, and this is not an assault on agents. I'm not saying they're all bad, but we talked about Scott Boras. When you were away, we had quotes from Jordan Montgomery, who said he screwed up his negotiations with the Red Sox. He wanted to go to Boston, and Boras screwed it up. Blake Snell has come back and said Boras was great for him. Okay, fine. One's good for one, not so good for the other.
All right.
How much do you think the agents interfere? Because I want you to hear this. All we heard about from CeeDee Lamb was urgency, no urgency. Jerry Jones wants him. They're going to get it done. Yet he missed all of training camp. And you're sitting there saying, what takes so long? So CeeDee Lamb, very innocently, I think, as he's talking to the media yesterday, when they asked like what the process was when you found out that you were getting your deal done, listen to what he says here. And he's talking about the agent who contacts him in a way that I was surprised when I heard it. Go ahead, play this.
My agent FaceTimed me. It was actually kind of, it's kind of crazy because he hit me with yeah, man, this is going south, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, what do you mean it's going south? Like, we've, you know, it's time. Like, and then he hit me with, yeah, they're only going to try to pay you $34 a year. You know, I'm like, well, where do I sign?
So now I don't know if he's being sarcastic there.
Sounds like a little bit.
Might have been.
Yeah.
But it made me think, do the agents take too much into their own hands in terms of negotiating before they go back to the player, to where the player might be, that's fine. Let's just sign the deal. I want to play. But maybe the agent is trying to get them the most, and that's their job. And I know that.
Yep.
But maybe you've got players that are like, you know what? I can live on that. That's a lot of money. Take the deal. I want to play. Like, well, what's the relationship like between
them? Yeah, well, the relationship's different, right? To your point, the agent's trying to get the most because he gets a piece of it too, right? So it works hand in hand.
True.
On the flip side of that, you know, for a lot of guys, they've never seen money to this magnitude, mm-hmm. right? And so for the business side of it, you know, when they start going through your taxes and how much you're really going to make after taxes, the agent's saying, like, yeah, this looks good right now, but mm-hmm. let's really break it down what's actually going in your pocket. So if the agent now deems that not enough, then that's when they step up and they kind of ramp up conversations. However, I think a lot of guys, I know a lot of guys don't know what's happening behind the closed doors. I think a lot of guys put cold, hard faith in the agent to be the agent they signed up for them to be. You know, to be mm-hmm. that guy behind, yeah. like to be the all-star. And then as there's dialogues back and forth, it's troubling because you think, you know, an agent may say X, Y, Z, but you never know because you're not in the room. You know, you're literally going off what the agent had, whatever conversation you had with the GM and whoever. So I think CD at this point, I think he understands right now for the Dallas Cowboys, and now it looks like they're invested in him being the guy. Mm-hmm. And what happens with Dak Prescott, who knows? But I think CeeDee at $34 million, he's never seen that in his life. Why wouldn't he sign it? So, but I think the agent from that standpoint is like, listen, we got to make sure this is your forever money. Right. And you only got one shot at this because we know you're always an injury away. Like, Dak got hurt before the big deal, and that was just Jerry having blind faith that he was going to go back and be the quarterback they need him to be. That hasn't happened because he hasn't won a Super Bowl. But last year, Dak Prescott was damn good for the Cowboys in the regular season. This is the postseason that he continues to stub his toe on. So I think CeeDee right now, the question is, you know, sitting out all of training camp, it's good to be in field shape. But you still got to get hit.
Yeah.
You know, you still got to receive contact. You still got to get out your breaks. The timing that him and go back to that game against Green Bay in the playoffs. That was the first time last year, and you're the Cowboys fan, that I saw, and this happened in the first quarter because I vividly remember it, that I saw Dak and CeeDee Lamb at odds on camera, mm-hmm. on the field, arguing with each other.
Yes.
That's how they ended that season.
I remember.
So now you're telling me, yeah. CeeDee Lamb, who didn't do anything all training camp, he had to get his money. I'm not negating that. But now you're talking about starting the game in Cleveland, September 8th, the best defense in the NFL. Like, it has to make football sense now. The money's the money, and I get that. So for me, if I'm talking to this agent, I'm like, bro, I'm trying to get this done.
Yeah.
But you got to do your part too. And I'm not saying CeeDee Lamb is not in shape, but I think there's an added sense of pressure because of how last season looked and what they're about to start up against September 8th against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and the contract you just signed.
And the contract.
And again, to be clear, I'm not saying that the agent screwed it up, or
agents screwed up too, though. Yes, Jerry, agents screwed up because they go into it with their own goals. Because at the end of the day, if he's able to sign that deal and he has a roster of other guys, mm-hmm. he has to now close that deal so the rest of other guys continue to have faith in him that they're going to close other deals for them. So it all ties together. If that deal doesn't happen and CeeDee Lamb is not happy with it, then the guy that's already on his roster for that agent is like, I don't know if this guy can do it. He didn't do it for CeeDee. Like, CeeDee's a no-brainer. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't he get his money? What happened? Like, look at what Hassan's Reddick going through.
So did you ever get directly involved in a negotiation with the team, or did you just let your guy handle it and be in communication with him?
No, I totally let. I had my agent at the time was Joe Linta, out of Connecticut, mm-hmm. JL Sports, and I totally trusted Joe. And then, I hate to say this, you know, for small school guys like myself, we come with sort of a cup in hand. Because because we come from the mud, a small school. When a big figure comes out, you're like, man, why not? You know,
right.
CeeDee came from Oklahoma in the first round. he's been the darling of the Cowboys for some time. So he can walk up to the table with a little more confidence and moxie. Most lunch pail guys like me, we're like, dude, just give me a Groupon book. We can settle this up. We can get this over with now. You know, right. So it's a different mindset. But I was fortunate, man, because when I actually got hurt before my big deal with the Steelers. I tore my Achilles. And I was like, I'm done. Like, there's no way they're taking. And, you know, to credit Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert, our GM at the time, they were just like, nah, you're Steelers. We're going to make it right. And they did. So I give them a lot of credit and respect for being, you know, honoring me and valuing me at the time.
Yeah. Interesting stuff really is, because there's so many different things involved. And you really do wonder behind closed doors what is happening with the
songwriting. I don't think a lot of guys know. It's just I think a lot of guys are just going off the word of their agent, which is dangerous because if this is your livelihood and this is your business. But also, the agent's trying to protect his name, too. Like, you know, you get off the phone with Joe Douglas, Joe's like, he's not paying you. Your agent calls you. like, things are fine. Man, you know, we're working things
That's
out.
That's right.
You know? So the agent's not going to always be 100% thorough and transparent with you. They're still trying to feel it out themselves.
I think as long as, like you said, you're comfortable and you trust your guy, then you let your guy work. But, you know, like I said, it just kind of jarred a thought of what happens behind closed doors and the relationship team, agent, player. And if the player is completely cut off from that negotiation.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we get CeeLo in here again. We've got more to do in terms of the baseball and the football as well. We also have something that I would call, what would Willie do? That's right. I have a couple of odd questions for him coming up. And LeBron James and his son, that's a little bit of a topic of conversation, too. So all of that and more straight ahead until 10. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
It's 7:25. Built Ford Tough Studio, the Boomer and Geo program with Willie and Jerry. In for me is Chris Lopresti. I know you got lots of stuff, so what's up?
Oh, yes. Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also sponsored by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Bit of a milestone homer for Pete Alonso to get the Mets on the board last night.
Swinging a smash in the air toward right and deep. Carroll going back to the wall. It's gone. Right over the right center field wall. Alonso gets the Mets started in Arizona. It is 1-0 New York.
That's Keith Rad, Odyssey Mets Radio. 220th of his career, which matches Mike Piazza for third most in Mets history, trailing only Darryl Strawberry and David Wright. Part of an 8-3 Mets victory over the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, people told me after the game, and Mike was a childhood hero of mine, so that's really special because, I mean, for me, he's one of those guys I looked up to growing up, and that's really special.
Also special, the groove Sean Manaea is in right now. One hit ball through six shutout innings before in this one.
Before you mention Manaea, did you also see, and I like Alonso, I do, and I don't know what I would do with him at the end of the season because of the way this year has gone. And his age, he's not 25 like we talk about with Soto. It's interesting, though, did you see the rest of his conversation with the media when he's talking about what a great year it's been?
Yeah, he loves the clubhouse, his teammates.
I guess he's just a happy, fun-loving. It's really amazing. And I know it's after a win, so I would be upbeat too. But it's, I don't know.
Well, maybe he's trying to say the right thing.
Or maybe he's fishing to stay there.
Or that.
Well, that could be. I mean, talking about how much he loves the team, it's possible.
There's always, anytime a guy knows that he's coming to the end of a road, you can either say how much you hate it here or you say, I love it here.
All right, I'll ask you a question then. Yeah. Because we were just talking about the agent thing. It's been widely reported that Mike, what they offer him supposedly? Was it 5 for $1?
It's 7 for $150 something.
It was 7 for $150. All right, so let's say 7 for $160. Break that down however you want.
Sure.
And supposedly that was the offer. He turned it down. Do you think that's an offer that gets back to him and is being told, we'll get you more? Or do you think it's presented in a way like 7 years, $160?
Well, listen, I think anytime a guy is starting to get long in the tooth, you start thinking about life after baseball or any respective sport because his value, his name holds weight here in this city. And the longer he continues to play here and make, listen, life-changing money for most Americans, you start to now build upon your legacy like he's one of ours for life. And I think that's what Pete Alonso is right now. Yeah, he can probably march on and play for somebody else and do what he does. However, if he stays in a city like this and continues to put in the effort to help the Mets win and get somewhere into another stratosphere, he'll always be a New Yorker. And that's what all ball players, I had to think about that when I was a Jet, right? Like, when I left Pittsburgh, do I go to Chicago or somewhere else and really try to fight it out? Or I go home, build my name and legacy after football, and so I can continue to thrive in the city where I grew up at and be respected as a Super Bowl champion who played for the New York Jets.
Interesting what the offer, wherever it comes from and from whoever it comes from after the season, if it is as much as that was, more or less, who knows, based on what the season's been like. I'm sorry, go back.
I was waiting for you to rip off a quote.
That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. We're here to chat, right? Yeah, I'll see if I can work some quotes in along the way. So, yeah, Manaea was awesome through six. He struck out 11. He improves to 10-5. Did give up a couple of homers in the seventh. But overall, another excellent start, but very understated about his recent success.
Just feeling good with everything. I have a lot of confidence in all my pitches. And, just attacking guys and getting ahead and finish him off. So it's it feels really good.
It's funny. We heard Nimmo last hour compare him to DeGrom. He always sounds a little like DeGrom there, just kind of like very quiet, understated not getting too high or too low.
Yep.
Mets played at six in the fifth, aided by some Arizona sloppiness as well there. But it was a 13-hit attack. Brandon Nimmo had three, so a good night and a good start to the series. But they don't pick up any ground in the wild card race because, well, I guess they did on the Diamondbacks, but they're at the top of the NL standings. Padres and Braves both win again. San Diego in St. Louis, 7-5 atop the Cardinals, and the Braves rallied for four runs in the 10th to get by the Twins 8-6. So the Mets still three back of Atlanta, but that third and final wild card spot. They've got Luis Severino on the mound tonight. Eduardo Rodriguez for the D-backs. It's another 9:40 first pitch. Down in D.C., as smooth as Monday night went for the Yanks, Tuesday was pretty much the opposite.
Swing and a miss. Throw down to nobody. Wow. Unbelievable. Nobody even covered the bag.
Yep, that look explains everything.
That was a look of bewilderment from Jose Trevino, described by John Flaherty, along with Ryan Rucco on Yes. A four-error night for the Yanks. I didn't realize this. That's four games in a row where they've made at least two. So they have not played good defense.
That's interesting. I mean, I didn't realize it either.
Yeah, I guess because they've been winning. But when you lose and you make four errors, all of a sudden we talk about it a little bit more. And they do end up losing the game 4-2 after trailing 4-0 through seven.
How about, and you mentioned Trevino. He also had the bad throw to first. Did you see the one where he almost got the home plate umpire killed?
Yeah, honestly.
He missed the ball.
I understand Austin Wells is not going to play every day. But it's like, since Trevino's come off the IL, and I know they love, he's good with the pitchers and the staff. I know Cole likes him, but, I mean, Wells is clearly the better player.
What are we doing here? I know.
Patrick Corbin, dead last in a number of MLB pitching categories, entering the night, hung six innings of two-hit shutout ball on Aaron Boone's club.
He stayed away from making mistakes tonight, it seemed to me. But, you know, we just didn't mount enough tonight. We didn't, you know, play our best and, tough one.
They did have traffic in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, but failed to come up with the big hit, 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position on the evening.
Yeah.
Back to the defense. Here was Trevino on that. Throw down to a ghost, I guess, at second base.
I just saw him run. I thought I'd put a throw in that area, but stuff happens like that. Miscommunication.
Yeah.
The old ghost ball.
And timing's funny because on our bottom screen here in the studio, the play I just referenced just popped up where he misses the fastball that Cole threw him.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, rough night
for sure. Which makes it kind of difficult, Jerry, to pick our thriving player of the game, but we're going to go with Anthony Volpe.
Payoff pitch due to Volpe. Here it comes. Swung on, rolled to short. Abrams has it. He'll let the run score. Throw to first. Oh, what a pick by the first baseman, Joey Gallo.
Yeah, it's an RBI ground out. He had the lone RBI for the Yanks last night.
You take it.
The other run came in on a double play. Volpe 1-for-4. Our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. So rubber game with the Nats this evening. Carlos Rodon, Mackenzie Gore are the starters. We've got pregame coverage 6:05 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. The Orioles are back within the game of the Yankees atop the AL East because they went out to L.A. and took the series opener from the Dodgers last night, 3-2. Phillies beat the Astros again by way of a 5-0 shutout, and the Royals took down the Guardians 6-1, so Kansas City and Cleveland are now dead even atop the American League Central.
Did Seattle win?
That's
only because Houston lost again. I looked and I forget now.
I did look at it, but it didn't register.
Let's see. AOS. Blah, 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 blah.
They lost.
That awkward.
They lost
to
Tampa.
They beat us, too.
Of course they did.
Was it like, was it close? 3-2.
3-2 Tampa.
3-2. There you go. So okay. They failed to take advantage.
Missed opportunity.
That's exactly.
Because they could have got back to it in 2.5
spots. Yeah. All right, we ran through some of the cut down news for the locals. The Giants sticking with three quarterbacks, at least for now. We'll see what happens after waiver wire and practice squads start to get formed and all that good stuff. But you do have Drew Locke and Tommy DeVito along with Daniel Jones on the Giants' initial 53. For the Jets, you guys were talking Hassan Reddick there in the last segment. Robert Sala asked about him yesterday and whether or not at this stage he could get in, report, and get himself ready for that week one opener against the 49ers.
I'm assuming he's in phenomenal shape. You know, like I said, he's a veteran. He knows what he needs to get ready. You know, he's had success in multiple buildings and multiple schemes. With multiple coaching staffs, and so he's going to know what he needs to do to be ready for week one, so he still has plenty of time.
So he's been posting, or someone's been posting for him, these workout videos.
Yeah, Willie was talking about.
Yeah,
okay,
hey,
thank you. And now here's what I need to know, and I'm sure you can give me the reason for this. A lot of these guys do this, and more often than not, like, can we throw a helmet or some pads on? Like, I know you're maybe not going to do full contact, but if you're going through the exercise of keeping yourself in shape and working out, wouldn't you want to be running around with some pads on so you're used to that?
Neither does anything for me. Yeah, unless there's another 300-pound man in front of you trying to block you, then it means nothing for me. For me, for when I look at Hassan Reddick, I need you in the building. This is the reason why the Jets kept 10 defensive linemen, because they're, even with how impressive he looked with the video and jumping over cones and stuff, all that stuff, they're playing the San Francisco 49ers, right? And the Niners have a really good offensive line led by a really good team. So, and he's going out there to play. So there's a different, level of intensity that he just hasn't been a part of since he left Philly. So if I'm Robert Saleh, I have to assume the guy who's asking for all this money is going to be in tip-top shape. But there's a difference between weight room shape and field shape and then football shape. You have, every football player still has to get in football shape.
Yeah.
That means with my 300-pound frame, pulling, twisting, you know, trying to hit you in the gut on plays where the ref's not looking. Are you prepared for that? The only way to get to prepare for that is to be on the field. And I'm not trying to get in his pockets by no means. But as we get along here, Salah's urgency now has to get Jermaine Johnson and Quentin Williams and those guys ready, because the Niners are on a different path. They understand it's Super Bowl and bust for them.
They're
going to
be ready.
And they're going to be ready. So Salah has to get that D-line ready for that.
Yeah. It's just interesting to me. These guys, I mean,
I agree.
I hate it. If I was his agent, like, stop with the videos. The videos do nothing.
Even
videos
if you're
are
not
helping
the videos
you.
Out, we're getting a glimpse at it, but like, you're going through the process of exercising, right, to keep yourself quote unquote in shape. And I understand you can't simulate or mimic practice.
Right.
But like, I would think you would want to do as much as you can. Like, go grab some big dudes and have them knock you around a little. Put some pads on. I mean, it's something.
Yeah, but then
it's better than nothing.
You wind up getting hurt.
I guess.
But at the end of the day, what do we expect for him to eat a bowl of Doritos on a couch? Like, you're not going to post that, right?
I'm not even talking about for what you're posting. I'm just talking about what you're doing while you're away from the team.
I just think it's a waste of time. I think you just, when it's time to go, be ready to go.
Yeah. What would it say to you if, like, CeeDee Lamb goes out and has 3 touchdown catches week 1, Ja'Marr Chase goes out, is off the charts, and Hassan Reddick does report and has 4 sacks? It's almost like, what the hell are we doing all August? If guys can come off their couch, basically, I know they're in shape, but,
yes.
and just perform at a high level a week later.
Right.
You know, it's almost like you expect them to have a step back that first couple of weeks.
Our human brains would expect that.
I would.
These guys are elite athletes, right? And so for me, you want a good showing week 1, but I need to see what you look like week 4 and 5.
True.
And so is your body prepared for that? Because that's the biggest injury. That's the biggest problem with a lot of these guys. When they train, they deal with so much volume. You know, that's why week after week 2 or 3, all these injuries pop up, because they get kind of burnt out.
Mm.
So he's going to have enough time to recover. But it just, for me, I just need you to kind of lead this young defensive line. Because Quentin Williams received an obscene amount of double teams last year, right? And still was effective. Jermaine Johnson, they're expecting a big jump out of him. You're now starting a Will McDonald youngster who's 6'3", 245 pounds, still has a basketball frame. And listen, the spin move only works for so many times. You know what I mean? Right. You got to get around some big fellas. You got to be more effective on the edge, because I watched them struggle last year. Mm. So you're going to need a veteran like Hassan Reddick to kind of lead that defensive line. And because Robert Saleh's defense only works if he has a pass rush, bottom line. So they need him in the building. They got to figure it out. They got to get him in the building.
A couple more from CeeDee Lamb. I know you played the clip about the interaction with his agent. So, of course, reunited with the Cowboys and his teammates with the contract extension. Never lost faith it would get done, even though, like you said, the agent said it was going south. But he acknowledges it.
That could have been facetious.
Right.
Right.
But obviously this was did take a while, and it was a little bit on the prolonged side.
Yeah, no. I had no doubt. I had no doubt one bit. But I will say I was getting impatient.
Down the stretch, they're getting a little antsy once he finally signed his name on the contract.
It was amazing, bro. All the stress, everything just went out the window. It
did sound like someone very happy
Jerry,
and
I'm
relieved.
I'm surprised you didn't laugh at that one when he talked about, I knew it was going to get done. After Jerry out with his comments.
I've pretty much felt like it was I always thought he would be there for week 1.
Okay.
I just didn't understand what took so long, because everything you read was they were so close. And to me, I'm like, well, then this is where I say get the agent out of the room, get the player and the owner in the room and the GM, and just iron it out. Let's go. If you're that close, figure it out. And it took longer than expected, but they did get it done. So I still think Dak will get done too before week 1. How, I don't know, but I think he'll have a contract too before week 1.
See, I don't think so.
You might be right. I think it will get done.
I think that's one guy Jerry kind of just like, because Jerry's already admitted he's not going to. He wants to be more fluid and flexible amongst the within the roster.
Sure.
If you give Dak,
the answer then?
I don't see how you pay. I think when it comes to, I think Dak is in a separate category. I think it comes down to get me to where I want to go, then we can talk.
Meaning, so he's got to win first, okay? But if you don't win, I just don't know where you're turning. They went through a decade with no quarterback before Romo basically emerged out of nowhere. It was quarterback hell, and it was just retread after retread.
See, I don't think that scares Jerry Jones. I don't think he's afraid.
Oh, it should.
I don't think he's afraid of going back to hell. I think in his mind, him being the GM, I think I can fix this. There's a reason he's had 9 different head coaches. He hasn't had a GM.
Yeah, but
he feels like he's the czar.
No, but that's not fair, because recently he hasn't had 9 head coaches. He gave Jason Garrett a long time, and he's been patient with McCarthy. And I will make every case as I have that they lost that game to Green Bay because they were out coached. and they were not ready for that game.
Grimby had the biggest offensive line in football and ran the ball down their throats with a bad defensive line from the Cowboys.
Nothing changed throughout the course of the game, and they weren't ready for that. So
they weren't ready for the physicality of which Green Bay
played. No, they weren't. And he's been patient with McCarthy, and that's great. Wonderful. I actually like stability.
But I also feel like, and not to prolong this, but I do think McCarthy and Dak are tied hip-to-hip in this season.
I see, I don't. But okay, you might be right. I mean, if he's gone, I don't know. Maybe it's Deion Sanders' kid next year. Who knows?
Starting over. Maybe it's Trey Lance.
I'm just saying, I don't think Jerry's scared to start over. I think he was like, well, what else do we have? I don't think Jerry's afraid to go there.
Well, I tell you, you start over, you're looking at another 3-4 years, and we can make fun of the things I've said all along, and he has said it too. He's not 45 anymore. And he has referenced that.
I think we all know he has enough. His cojones will make him do what Jerry wants to do.
I know, but he wants to win. He does want to win. But okay. We'll see. We'll see. I hope he makes it through the offseason.
You said that about, or that's got to be out of context.
All right. It is and it's not.
He doesn't have many seasons left.
Okay, now that's out of context. And I was referencing him. That was from a clip from him 2 years ago talking about how he's not getting any younger. He wants to win because he's older.
Yeah.
And me and Al were talking, and yes, I said those things, but it was based on what he said.
I hope he makes it through the offseason. That's quite a leap there.
I hope he makes it through the offseason.
I mean, that sounds like he's fighting an illness of some sort.
You have the full clip or no? I forget what that's from. It's from his quote.
He must have said something pretty morbid, I guess, then. Huh?
I hope he makes it through the offseason. All right.
I don't blame.
Before the season began, he was talking about how his days were numbered. But really? He was very emotional before the season began.
Right. What?
Basically talking about how he doesn't have many seasons left. But his days were numbered.
Jerry's old.
I know he is. And
he looks old.
And I was playing off of his comments. But boy, when you just play it as a standalone. I mean, what the hell? That's what we do to the athletes, so it is what it is.
I hope he makes it through the offseason.
You're a bad guy.
He'll be 82 coming up in a little less than 2 months.
Yeah.
Jerry's not changing for anybody.
I didn't expect him to change. I just think the idea that he's just going to roll over and start over is, I think, asking a lot. I think when you pay CeeDee Lamb what you pay him, you got Micah Parsons right now, but they're going to pay him.
I just don't know how you pay Dak and then want the defense to be better. They have to get better up front,
but that's,
defensively.
But that's the problem with the – we were having this conversation yesterday or Monday – I wish they would change the salary cap to, if you draft a guy and he's on your team, it is going up. But teams still have to decide, are we going to be really good defensively or really good offensively? Because you can't pay everybody. It sucks, but that's
the problem. They watch what Miami did this offseason. They're like, why not? Look at Miami. Miami paid everybody.
Okay, well, we'll see how that works out for them, because they look like crap in Kansas City.
When you pay, quote-unquote, everybody, you better hit on some of those late-round picks and have them contribute quickly.
Correct. Yeah. Or you have a quarterback in his first 4 years that you're not paying.
Yes, which is why we said the young guys they play right away now.
Right, because they have to.
Yeah.
Which stinks, because that's not the way it should be.
But in most cases,
yeah. All right, I know you got more.
We're good next hour.
Yeah. Chris, thank you very much. 7:43, take a quick break, come right back. 888-808-1019. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Coming up next, what would Willie do? That's right, that's on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's The Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Welcome back, Bill Ford Tubbs Studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is nice to have you with us. From time to time, we see things. We see things in the newspaper that make you scratch your head. And you know what? There have been times where I have done, is this a real headline or a fake headline? I'm not going to do that this time, because that's kind of played out a little bit, although I could bring it back at some point. But I thought it would be fun to bring a couple of these to your attention in a different way, as a matter of fact. So if you would, Ed, please.
It's time for WWWD. What would Willie do? Here's Jerry Recco.
Oh, thank you, Paul. That's very nice. He introduced me. How about that? Okay. So Paul are zooming with the production. All right, so these are things that I saw in the newspaper, and I would like to see what your reaction would be to them and how you would handle them.
It's tough when you make your surf. I'm a little nervous.
No, don't be nervous, but there was production, so you got to live up to the production.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That is correct.
All right, story number one that I saw this morning, I would love to know what Willie would do. A horde of laughing bicyclists attacked a California liquor store worker. What would you do if you were the liquor store worker? I will tell you what he did when you tell me how you would react.
Well, I would get a couple of dish rags and set them on fire.
You're not far off.
Start prepping some Molotov cocktails.
Well, all right, but what if this happened and you weren't prepared for it?
Why are they attacking this man?
I don't know. Now you're asking for details. But I will tell you, the store owner, after being basically verbally attacked, and then they went after him physically, he pulled out his handgun.
See? Well, that's the America we live in. But I do say this. I think one thing I'm learning at the ripe age of 41 is that a lot of people can't fight. I've seen more people get their butt kicked on social media than I've ever seen in my life. And that just... From tall, big guys, like they could do some work, to skinny guys. I just see an array of butt whoopings. And then in particular, around football time, I've seen more stadium fights from people.
We talked about this yesterday.
And everybody, we live in a hostile country. It's time to pick up an art. Judo, kickboxing, yes. Something. There's too many L's. I'm watching an array of L's getting taken place by a bunch of dads who just, maybe in their Harry high school days, they were somebody. But you're 45, bro. You know you can't lift the couch you used to, and you're getting slammed. You're getting slammed in your head by a guy who drinks hard seltzers and loves Halo. You know, just yeah. So since we're going to live in this hostile country, let's all pick up an art. Put the guns down. Let's pick up martial arts.
I like how you mentioned that because a lot of times you will see the bigger guy get his ass kicked by a guy who has picked up
one
of those arts.
I've said this, and I said this time after time. I know only because I used to bounce in college and, you know, I was around a lot of fights. Most big guys lose those fights because I tell you why, because they've always been the biggest throughout their life. Right. So when they get to high school and let's just say you haven't hit puberty, you're not fighting a 6'5", 265 kid. He's never been in a fight. So he's just masked as a big guy who can take everybody. Not necessarily. And to the one guy, you know, who's been kicked out the house. Maybe he has a little gambling problem, right? Has an obsession with cheese. Yes. He's on edge. So he's willing to take on that guy.
And he's ready to go. There was the one fight we were talking about yesterday where a guy got the crap beat out of him.
Smacked up.
But never dropped his can of beer.
Right.
Which was pretty funny. And then there was one, I think it was at the Cardinal game, the Arizona Cardinal game last week, I think, where the guy's mocking the one guy, basically, try and hit me. And he did. He swung and he ducked it a couple of times until he landed the third one.
Correct.
And the guy was out.
Sleepy.
Cold.
There was
yes.
a fight Cowboys-Rams preseason game outside. Did you see that?
I did see
that.
That
one was rough.
That was awful.
And for everybody preparing for the season, if you happen to get in a fight in the bleachers and the guy's two levels up and he's punching down, don't be the guy down. Right? Because that guy always loses. Be the guy that's up.
Mm.
So
there you go. A little advice from Willie. All right, here we go. Number two, what would Willie do? Now, this happened to a woman by the name of Rara Armstrong. She was on vacation in Spain. What would Willie do? You catch a hotel worker sniffing and then stealing your underwear.
Oh, man, that's rough. Rara, it's time to, one, leave the hotel.
Okay.
Get some points.
Right.
And I would be like, listen, tell the guy to pay you. You got to charge. I would charge the guy.
For the underwear?
Yeah. Actually, I'm like, listen, $10 for additional sniff, to be honest.
We're walking away with points.
You
got to
get
cash.
Something. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Stud undies.
Exactly. Number two, you turn 90.
Oh, man.
How do you celebrate? What would Willie do?
90?
You made it to 90. How do you celebrate?
So this is a great topic because my wife assumes that I'm leaving the earth before. Right.
Why? Because you're a big guy?
Well, in her mind, she's just like, you know, Willie, you don't eat healthy. You know, you don't exercise as much as you should. I mean, that's obvious. You can tell by the shirt I'm wearing. So if I make it to 90, I'm going ham. Ham, the acronym. I'm doing it all. I'm strip clubs, amusement parks. I may not have a shirt on for 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm doing it all. I'm going
so you're
crazy.
Just you're going to party up.
I'm gonna go nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna set a tree on fire just because I don't know. I'm just gonna go bonkers.
Old folks' homes are already like that. I feel like you got a lot of people just getting down with it over there.
There is that rumor that is out there. That is very true.
I think old folks lead the category STDs.
That, yes. Al and I have talked about that on the podcast.
They play Find a Pickle in the Dark a lot out there. It's a popular game.
It's good to know it still works at that age. For some, it might not.
Yeah, at this point, it doesn't matter. Let's just touch each other.
Throw all the money on that, baby.
Yeah. Let's just figure out what part still works.
I ask you the question because in the paper, there was a 90-year-old grandmother that decided to celebrate her birthday skydiving.
Really?
At 90. And
that would terrify me.
Because
when Nana hits the ground, you're just hoping she's still alive,
that's
right?
That's true, but she said she's a badass grandma.
Yeah,
you know what? Not many 90-year-olds are skydiving.
Yeah, you can be badass all you want until you can't breathe no more now.
That is kind of cool. All right, now, and the last one is in the line of aging. So anti-aging has become all the
rage.
Huge. And absolutely.
For all the fellas out there, if your face gets a little saggy, I've seen more grown men with Botox, man. Face like that stiffening look, it's not good.
All right, so would you do, I'm sure the first one you probably do, but any or all of these? A, regular use of sunscreen.
No, I don't do sunscreen.
You don't do that. Okay, fine. You're out on that one. B, drink tons of water.
I need to do that more.
So you don't do that either. That's a row for two. Yeah. Okay.
This is chemical what my wife peels. Has a theory this year.
I'm seeing where she's going here. What about chemical peels where they peel off the dead layers of
skin? Have you
seen
that?
No, it sounds terrible.
It's rough. Have you seen those things? I mean, it looks like it's like the scene out of Hannibal Lecter where you rip the...
Is it really?
Hello, Clarice. Yeah,
but it does make it look more vibrant, right?
It looks like, I guess.
You're out on that too?
No.
All right, so that's 0 for 3. Regular facials?
I just don't believe in playing with your face, man. You know what I mean? Look how many women and dudes we say back in the day, like, oh, they had their fastball, and they lose their fastball solely because they kept messing with their face. Injections, peel bags, other stuff.
And, yes, some start to look terrible.
Yeah.
What about regular facials? Would you go get those done?
Oh, man, this won't be a good one for the locker room.
Probably not, but you know what I'm saying.
Though. I get you. No, I'm not a big...
So you're out on that one, too.
I do it because the wife makes me do it.
We found one.
Yeah.
All right, we found one. And then the last one, would you be the new celebrity craze? Would you be into injections of salmon sperm into your face?
Salmon sperm. Yeah, from Alaska? What salmon are we talking about?
I don't know. But that's a new thing that the Kardashians do. I believe Jennifer Aniston did.
Yep.
Chaz Jism. So you'd be out on that.
Yeah, the sperm to the face thing. Yeah, that's
salmon sperm. Yes,
and they're injections. Salmon sperm.
They're also, by the way, doing injections into your not with that, but into your joints, into your knees,
like Sidvisc.
I think so. Yes,
Sidvisc is like the little turkey neck. This comes from the chickens. It's like the little.
I think that's supposed to help as well.
Yeah.
So out of all of those, the only thing is you go to the wherever and you get the facials. You
yeah,
know, that's, not that's, the massage place. Where do you get those from?
I mean, dude, that climax just hits you right in the face.
I'm serious.
There's a place in Jersey that I go to.
Okay.
Skin by Mimi. She's awesome.
But you don't drink water.
I do drink water. I don't drink enough water.
As a pro athlete, I would think that out of that entire list, the first thing you would have said is I drink 64 ounces of water every day.
No, I mean, I should drink a gallon of water a day.
Yeah.
The TB12 method. I get that. I should be a part of that. I just don't drink enough water a day.
What's your wife's name?
Akeesha, shout out. She's probably listening and watching.
Akeesha.
Well, the kids are getting ready for school. So
you might
probably
be right about this one.
Yeah.
She doesn't take care of himself.
She's fighting with my toddlers right now. So
You need to do more.
100%. And I will do.
As long as we know. All right, that was this edition of What Would Willie Do? When we come back, a little reset of the program. We will also get to some NFL stuff around the league because we are now, today's Wednesday, right? We're almost a week away from the start of the NFL season. So we got that. And also Steve Berline is going to join us at 9:20 as well, right here on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.